And welcome back to Oklahoma Engaged Live, Voice of the Voter here on KGOU. I'm Logan Layden, managing editor for KGOU's news department, but for State Impact Oklahoma as well, which includes our partners at KOSU. And we have someone from them joining us today. It's Kately Mills from KOSU. Kately, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Good to be here. I mean, my power just went off, so I'm having to deal with that. But other than that, I'm good.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, as though 2020 couldn't get any weirder. Here we go with a ice storm in late October. Yes, indeed. Well, thanks for joining us. We also have Robbie Korth, the education reporter for State Impact Oklahoma. How are you, Robbie?
Doing great. Thanks for having me today, Logan. Power is on here, so... Well, I'm in good shape.
You're one of the lucky ones then. Well, again, this is our last episode of Oklahoma Engaged Live. We've been doing this throughout the month of October, but the election is next week, so this is it. The reason that you two are joining us today is one of the kind of main, you know, it's called Oklahoma Engaged. The point of what we do is try to engage with the voters how we can. And this year was odd in many ways. One of the ways was that... there just aren't that many compelling races here in Oklahoma. There are some, the 5th Congressional District, some of the sheriff's races, and who knows what kind of surprises may await us on election night. But, you know, more than half of the legislature was determined months ago. So when we thought about engaging with people, we thought about students. We thought about seeing what maybe young people thought about the world as it is today and the issues that face us. And so that's what we did. We engaged with students from across the state and held an event for them where we sort of talked to them about the issues of the day and got an idea of how they felt about them. Explain a little bit before we get into the kind of details of it. What exactly did you do, Robbie? And what was it?
Yeah, so we hosted an event along with Generation Citizen, which is a civics engagement group for young people, over Zoom, where we basically invited high school students. Most, if not all of them, are actually unable to vote in this election, but they will vote in the future. And I can tell you, everybody we talked to is very involved, very interested in voting and in civics. So what we did was we took some of the pressing issues of the day and we sort of extracted from the main presidential candidates' platforms. Okay, what do you think about this issue? The first issue was COVID-19 response. So we took from President Trump's platform, from Democratic nominee Joe Biden's platform, and from Libertarian nominee Joe Jorgensen's platform, sort of how they would respond to COVID-19. And we asked, and so we blindly asked the students, like, which of these responses do you like? Which, you know, which would you find most attractive in a candidate? And they put in their, you know, their thoughts. And then we discussed why they maybe picked a certain candidate. Something I found surprising was pretty much with every candidate, the kids knew who it was without being prompted. Pretty much every time. So I think that's proof that these young people were very involved, but also that the candidates have made their positions very clear to the general public.
Yes, indeed. And I want to remind everybody again that if you want to, you have any questions for Kately or Robbie or anybody on our panel today, email us news@kgou.org or give us a call 405-325-KGOU and we'll get your questions answered. Kately, what form did this take? Obviously, with the situation as it is now and the pandemic, this wasn't, you all didn't go out in person. How was this set up?
No, this was all over Zoom. And we started at, it was a whole day. We did an hour long session at 9, an hour long session, I think at 11, and then an hour long session at 1. And the first two sessions were limited in how many students there were. So the first session, we actually ended up only having one student out of Alva. It ended up being a really good conversation. I think we learned a lot from that student in particular. And then the second session, there was only 3. And then I think the last session, Robbie, there was like 10, I think. So
10 to 12.
Yeah, so we kind of got a sampling of how... you know, these students feel about all these specific issues. We asked 6 questions. about COVID, education policy, criminal justice, immigration, economy, and guns. And out of the six, Biden typically had more votes, but there were two, which was economy and guns, where they were pretty evenly divided. And then I think also there were a lot of calls for, you know, a lot of, especially in our last session, a lot of the students were like, I don't really like any of these options. Why do I have to choose? And, you know, we just laid it out that, you know, just pick the one that you're closest to and include that in your discussion afterwards, after you vote. So it was, I think that was probably one of the standout things for me. Well, Robbie, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. It was really interesting to see how sort of there are these varying opinions, especially on the economy and guns. There was a certain lack of agreement on the best way to handle those two issues, which are obviously very pressing. Kately pointed out that I made the same joke about firearms each episode, in that, you know, this is not a controversial topic.
And COVID too.
And COVID, yeah. I repeated a lot of jokes throughout the session.
It was funny every time.
Thank you. It was really interesting to just hear the different types of ideas that young people had. They were really thinking out of the box. They weren't, I don't think one person who we talked to was stuck in, you know, sort of the partisan thought that, you know, you might expect. They all thought about things and had unique approaches to the issues of it, which I thought was actually really encouraging. I kind of thought these young people should be able to vote, even though they're under 18, because they're very well informed. They're very well informed people. So that was really interesting and actually kind of uplifting in a year where a lot of things to do with the news is not uplifting. So.
Yeah, interesting and different ideas, but not in agreement. So I guess if people had an idea that there were in the future, polarization is going to be going away. Did you get any sort of indication from that, either of you, after going through this exercise?
Sort of and sort of not, because I feel like the people that we talked to that did have more, I guess, polarizing, I don't want to use that word, but were leaning a obvious certain way, they still saw the value in the opposite. So it's like, I feel like it was kind of like they were, I think that's why they were honestly calling for like another option, because a lot of them were stuck between two choices or the three choices, because we did three, because adding libertarian to the mix. But yeah, I mean, I think so, unfortunately, but at the same time, maybe there is something we can learn from these young people too. Like, they're more willing to, you know, nobody interrupted anybody, nobody called anybody names. And so it was kind of refreshing. Well,
yeah,
actually.
Willing to listen, which is, yeah.
I would say it was much more civil than the presidential debates. So that was a good thing.
A group of 15 high school students, more civil than the presidential debate. Well, that's quite the statement. And I think a lot of people would agree. One of the things you said earlier was about how these young people were sort of dissatisfied all around. You make a decision based on, I guess, the I don't want to say the lesser of the evils, but there wasn't a consensus that there's somebody, whether it was Trump or Biden or the Libertarian, that they're just super jazzed for. Is that right?
Right. I mean, I think with the COVID issue in particular, there was like, you know, return back to normal, I think, was one of the options, or elevate the voice of scientists. And a lot of people were like, why can't we just do both? You know, why does it have to be a one or the other kind of situation? So, That was one that was pretty telling for me, at least.
Well, I'm excited to hear that part of it in particular, because these students, you know, it's been kind of a political football as far as whether to go back to school, do you mask, do you, you know, how do we approach this when it comes to students? Because obviously not being in school is not ideal, but being in school, you're posing a risk not only to yourself as a student, but to the people around you when you go home, your elders. Robbie, did you get a sense from the students one way or the other whether they sort of wanted to be in school or whether they were okay with this virtual learning environment? Or I'm sure it was a mix with students from across the state.
It was definitely a mix. I mean, pretty much every student in Oklahoma has, almost every student in Oklahoma has an option for at least some in-person education at this point. But I think the students were obviously very comfortable on Zoom and sort of participating in this way. I mean, granted, it was only an hour. It wasn't a full 8-hour day. But I think that they were able to get something from this conversation, I hope. They were certainly able to contribute to it and sort of inform us as we are doing stories. I think just like with the rest of us, there really is no consensus. You have to do what's best for you. I think that's how a lot of people feel. And, students luckily kind of have that choice here in Oklahoma. Teachers and other folks, maybe not so much.
Speaking of teachers, by the way, just changing the subject a little bit, you have a story today that's in the Oklahoman. Talk to me just for a minute about that. Back in 2018, there was this sort of a wave of teachers running for office here in Oklahoma, and it seems to have subsided. Tell me what you found there.
Yeah, so I worked on this story in today's Oklahoman with Carmen Foreman. She's the politics reporter over there, or state government reporter. And so in 2018, more than 100 former educators ran for the state house. And so the premise we went after was, it seems like there is a lot less interest among teachers this year. And we were right. So more than 100 ran in 2018 and about 50 ran during this session. So that's about half as many. Now there are a few reasons for that. First of which would be, as you mentioned earlier, there's just a general drop in candidates, Logan. A lot of races decided in the primaries, a lot of races decided with, because it's just the incumbent filed for reelection and nobody challenged them. So there's that general drop. But additionally, it seems as if education advocates told us that teachers don't feel like they have to run it as much anymore, or as much as they did in 2018. They feel like there have been some positive steps forward, and there's an opportunity for positive steps in the future. You should remember, in 2018, actually before the walkout, teachers were given a raise. They were given another smaller raise in 2019 or somewhere. And then this year, pretty big policy victory amidst a whole bunch of cutting from the state legislature was a cost of living adjustments for retired teachers in the teacher retirement system. So education advocates feel like they've been having a few victories after decades of no victories. So that's a big reason for the reduction. They feel like they have a voice in the legislature. That doesn't mean, advocates said that doesn't mean they're going to take their foot off the gas, but that was the story.
Very nice. Well, thank you, Robbie. And Kately, we just have about a minute or so here before we take a break. But I do want to ask you, you're kind of our expert on these wonderful little audio postcards, voices of people. You got another one coming up here within the next day. Tell me a little bit about it here in the next 30 seconds.
Yes, I interviewed two Oklahomans about being unemployed and how that had impacted or didn't impact necessarily their vote in November. Both of them are pretty different, but what I learned from both of them is that it pretty much solidified what they thought at the beginning of the year. It didn't really affect their vote at the end of the year. So I thought we need to highlight these people and give them a voice in the midst of this whole thing.
You can hear that tomorrow, and you can hear toward the end of the week Robbie and Kately's joint effort to sort of round up what they learned from the students and present that to you on the air here on KGOU. It's Oklahoma Engaged Live, Voice of the Voter. Quick break here. We'll be back with Dick Pryor and Amy Sue Gooden from OU Poll.